two.
Spirit of the law.
I think so. Yeah, two. We said before that there are five levels of the soul. So on Shabbos, we touch different levels. When we get the Ruach, we receive the Ruach of the day. Shabbos, we start from an essay. After we say Hashem's Tzai Tiftah, we're feeding to a Secha, that's when the Ruach comes in. The Ruach means. Okay. There are different Bechinas. The day Bechina, the Tzadik Kohen says the day Bechina, each Bechina of each meal is a special joy of its own. So the day Bechina, we get this deep joy because of our work. That's what he seems to say. The person's focused and connected, he's in it, that's why the day, sometimes people, to really connect to the light of the day, can be a little harder than by night. Night, you're just coming into it, as a kiddush, somehow it works. By day, you know, you get up for shul and you're going, you hear the lady, whatever it is, it's different, it's harder. I met people, you know, none of us, of course, but sometimes a person has on Shabbos, he says, you know, during the week, I feel my avodah is better. I go to my Seder, I have my Shir, here I'm like, you know, and these feelings happen usually more by day than by night. By night, you go in, you do this, the davening, it's beautiful singing, and then you jump in the kiddush, you do what you need to do, it's very special. Or, it's a different kind of or, it's an easier or for us to relate to. It's an or receiving, you just get a free gift. By day, we have to work a little harder. So the Ruach of the day, the beginning of the Ruach of the day, what's the Ruach of the day? The beginning of the Ruach of the day, the Ruach represents, connected to a Kedusha that's so powerful that we don't want any more material things. I don't really care about not food, not other tithers. I just don't care. Right now I'm connected to Hashem and I'm somewhere else totally. I'm somewhere else. I'm in a different place. That's what Ruach means. We access this element of the day, Shmoneh Esrei, when we daven the Shmoneh Esrei of Shabbos morning, that's when we get the Ruach. We saw Nefesh is Nishmas Kol Chai, and Ruach now is here, in this place. That's what the Bnei Chai says. Before you start Avos, you should have this in mind, he says, listen, if you forgot, we didn't make it, and this is a general rule anyway, when I made a mistake and I didn't manage it, so I can always fix things. I can always change things around and bring it in later. So before Musaf, I think, I want to take it in the Ruach first. I'm worried about the Shama afterwards. Before Musaf, you can think about it, you can also get it in. But Shabbos, the Or of Shabbos, it's very hard to describe because it's much higher than anyone understands. We don't really understand what Shabbos is. It's hard to get over. What did we get on Shabbos? What does Shabbos mean? Shabbos is so essential and important. Jewish survival really depends on Shabbos. If you don't have Shabbos, things fall apart. If you have Shabbos, you're okay. With Shabbos, it's our flag. Every country has a flag. The Jewish people, our flag is Shabbos. If you're keeping Shabbos, you're pretty much okay. No Shabbos, nothing. You're going to dissipate. It'll disappear. It'll dissolve. It could take a little time, but that's how things work out. So, the end of this Ruach, this Ruach gives us the ability to take also a wonderful gift, because in this Ruach Moshe, as we'll see in a minute, he's not going to tell us, so I guess we'll talk about it now. Yismach Moshe, the pressure of Yismach Moshe on Shabbos, Yismach Moshe ma'as halko kieber neman terasalom. Moshe is so happy. Here we are, Shabbos by day, right? Moshe is so happy, right? This one, the ma'as halko, he gave him his portion, kieber neman terasalom, because you called him a faithful servant. What does Moshe have to do with anything? What does it have to do, like, you're reading his words, you're saying, now it's Moshe. Where's Aaron? Where's Joseph? Where's David? Just Moshe. So the Aris is a very powerful thing from the Zohar, if I remember right, that you have a Bechina which we lost. We fell in the Chet HaEgel, we lost out. We no longer have the Or of Nasa Menishma. We had these two crowns, beautiful crowns, we lost them. So we want to get them back. How do I get them back? What do I do to bring them inside me? How do I bring them, internalize them? What do I do? So the Ari says, on Shabbos, we have an opportunity to bring them back in. Shabbos, you can do it. That's Yismach Moshe Ma'as Chalko. Hashem gives Moshe this chalakim, this portion, this crown. He's a good, faithful servant. He's faithful to us. He's a servant of Hashem. He just gives it to us. He didn't have to give it to us. He does. The Neshama of Moshe comes, and really, there's also Friday night of Bechina of the Neshama of Moshe, a different Bechina, very powerful Bechina, something totally different. also is interesting. But now the Mechina, the Moshe, the Shava Moshe, gives us the Torah, gives us this aura of Nasan Nishma. So Rav Nasan says, that's so beautiful. What does it have to do with my Avodas Hashem? I get a light. He said, it's not just you get a light. He said, on Shabbos, that's a time where Nachman speaks very much about the good points. Everyone, we have a Zamal Kayodi, every person has good points. And whatever we did in the week, whatever we made up of all these good points, which are the eternal connection to Hashem, they have to shine to us. And they don't shine to us. They especially shine to us on Shabbos. When we're depressed, when we're having a hard time, when things are difficult for us, that's because we don't perceive the good. If we saw that every good point is an eternal connection to Hashem, how could you be depressed? How could I feel, ugh, I'm so far, ugh, it's so bad? It's only because I'm focused on more negative. There might be a lot of negative. And I'm forgetting that every good is an eternal connection to Hashem. It's only eternal. So what are you, you know, the mashal I always, it's a question of like guys in a car, he totals his car, he falls in the mud, he ruins his expensive suit. But he's on his way to this meeting, he's got a lot of things to do. I mean, if he's going to sit on the side of the road crying, he's not, you say, maybe he's a psychiatrist. Say, so you feel, yes, it's very traumatizing. Okay, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we'll bring you to the emergency room, we'll bring you wherever you want. But you have business, you have stuff to do, you're okay. If he's a day later, he's still crying, oh, I feel so bad, I fell, I had an accident, take it easy, who cares? Your assets are much greater. And it's a mishap. It's unfortunate. So what? You can't live there. If you live there, you're not in a good place. You're not in a healthy place. He might need help. That needs help. But spiritually, that's very often our position. We don't feel the joy of every good point. Every good point is an eternal connection. We don't feel that. So why shouldn't we do tshuva? Rasmus says, why doesn't a person do tshuva? He says, this bad and that bad. He says, you have to grab every good point is an eternal connection to Hashem. So do it. Don't. So that's the first step. That's number one. So when a person says, no, I can't because, he's just like the guy in the car. He's sitting in the mud. Get out of the mud. It's okay. Change your suit and get moving. You can do so much for Hashem, so much for the world. So that's the beginning of Shabbos, especially. Shabbos, especially by day, I can start to see the importance of every good point. Every positive thing is forever. That's how Nassim explains. So that's these gifts that Moshe Rabbeinu gives us. On Shabbos, every good thing goes up to Hashem. So what that means is I can feel it in a deep way, at a deep level, my heart, my soul. I can feel it being a different place. And I can say, you know, I really, from now on, I'm going to start to change that. I'm going to be focused on good. I'm going to focus on the positive. If I have to change something, I'll try to change it, but I'm going to be grabbing as much positive as I possibly can. That's what the Medrash says, if you did piles of Averus, do piles of Mitzvahs. That's the first thing. Act. Not to atone, like not like say, oh, I feel guilty and I'll do this. That's not positive. A little positive, maybe. That's not really the way it's supposed to be. It's because I'm like getting a fight, so when he hits me, I hit him back. I mean, you took my pawn, I'll take your pawn. What do you think? I'm going to just sit there. You took my pawn, I don't know. Like, so what? You keep fighting. You're in a fight, so you fight. That's the name of the Egel Bechlal, the, you know, tonight, it's a Shavuot of the Talmud. The Egel, the Bechin of the Egel, Yochanan Shmulevitz explains, he said, how could they fall from Sinai to letting them do idolatry? Okay, it was only Erev Rav. How could it possibly be? He said, because they panicked. The Medrash said, they saw the fire, they saw this, they saw that. They got upset. When you panic, he said, you lose everything. He said, if you're in a match with someone, and you panic, you're finished. So no panicking. It's the first rule. No panic. And we have to realize and understand that every good point is an eternal connection to Hashem. It's eternal. He said, there's no way for a Jewish soul, the Rav Chalvin says it also, that one's very strong. He's even a non-Jewish soul. It's interesting we have that Rav Chalvin post. It's more or less the same. He said, a Jewish soul to not have something good, to blow it, is impossible. That's what Rav Chalvin says, and that's what the Nachman also says. A Jewish soul to really blow it can't do it. It's just impossible. There's something called an Abba, that's a very high level, and that's already a little less clear. Can we mess it up? It's a machlokes. But Rav Nachman brings in Sanhedrin, the Gemara of Sanhedrin, I think it's a Kuf Gimel, brings a lot of different opinions. The Mishnah Tosfos, of course, says everyone has a head of Abba except for, and starts to list. You know. There are different, Yerushalmi also has chutz. But there's one opinion, Dorosh Rishuma. So Dorosh Rishuma says, they say everybody. Menashe, anyone you think is the worst Jew, he's going to get in anyway. That's what the Dorosh Rishuma says. You learn that, you say, wow, that's a pretty amazing, radical opinion. Rabbi Nachman says, that's not enough.
What about Erev Rav?
I don't know. I don't know how it works with Erev Rav. We can... The Maisa, let's put it like this. Again, in terms of Gan Eden, they're going to have Gan Eden. Anyway, Jew or non-Jew, unless the person has no redeeming feature, that's what the Ramchal also says, and that one very strong. He said, unless you're a Malik, and that means 24-7, you never did anything sincerely good. If you did something sincerely good, you have any turn of next to Hashem. You might not make a Lahaba. Lahaba is its own level, but you're going to for sure make the world of souls. And in terms of Lahaba, Rav Nachman, it seems very clear that Jews for sure were all going to make the Lahaba, even non-Jews. Depends where he is, who he is. It's not so clear. I don't know, honestly. It's not clear enough. But Dorshu Shuvah said everyone's going to make a Lahaba. You can't mess up a Lahaba. It's just a question of how much of a Lahaba you're going to get. What Bechina you're going to get. That's how it happens. Out today, very, very strong. So unless you're a Malik, even a non-Jew, you're going to have something in the world of Neshamas, no matter what. Last year, really, 24-7, never did anything good. Never. Managed it. Again, it used to be easier to understand and picture this. Maybe, unfortunately, there's some places and people who still can picture it. You have a people idolater, if you believe everything I do, like the Maral says, idolater, everything he did was for his bringing down his influx, whatever his thing was. Believe in war, everything has to be for war. If you do something that's not furthering your power as a warrior, you're a fool, you ruined your life, what are you doing, you're messing yourself up, you're not going to have your chariot in the sky. They had all sorts of crazy ideas. So, I mean, something like that, he could ruin everything. I could do it. If I try hard enough, if I'm religious enough, I can ruin everything. And Amalek was so strong that they ruined it to such an extent, I mean, it's unbelievable. The way it comes out is even the kids. To us, we don't even really understand that. How do you ruin a kid? Like, who, how? I don't know. I have no idea. I just know Hashem said, they're not to still live, they don't live. But there's no such thing as Amalek today. Just the question is, can someone blow it that much or not? Theoretically, you can, but you need to work hard. Or come from a place where everything is about that. So there's no good. That's what Chal said. He said, if the Neshama really did no good, it has no sustenance. It can't live by default. It's not a punishment, it's just a fact. If you didn't do anything good, no sincerity, no way of connecting, there's no food, there's no nourishment for the Neshama, so it dies. That's what the Ramchal says. He says, a Jew, it's impossible that there's going to be such a thing. A non-Jew, he can make it, he just has to work hard. It's like a hard job, it's toil, you have to worry, if you're working, really hard. That's why I say, with Western values, one of the big advantages, usually you're not going to find someone who doesn't know you're supposed to be a good guy, never was good to anyone, never had any sincere desire to help someone, ever. Probably it's hard to find someone like that. Jew, non-Jew, I don't care who he is. So it's hard.
You have Hamas, you have...
No, that's not Western values. No, that's the question. Unfortunately, today, you have somebody who's... Again, nothing good, though. It's hard to believe.
Well, I mean, when you start with kindergarten and Sesame Street with suicide belts on...
So they do good for one for each other. It's also good. It's not zero. Zero is zero. Zero is real. I mean, I'm a mother. Zero means you don't help anybody. You don't do anything positive. You don't... It's only for your idolatry. It's only because of your idolatry. Only. Not because it's good. I don't care about good. Good is irrelevant.
Isn't that like Sodom and Gomorrah?
Also, yes, exactly. If you help him, you're fighting the providence. Hashem doesn't want to help him when we give him money. So when you have a guest, you're fighting providence. That's why when you invited someone to a wedding who might have been poor, who might have wanted a meal, in Stone they pulled your clothes off and ran you through the streets. You are getting rid of your own protection, your own coverage, as Sale, how to explain Sale. It means, like Yeshua says, Tzatzirah, right, in the land, their protection, their shelter is gone. You're sheltered. You're not sheltered. You're dead. You're destroying yourself, and you invited someone. If God wanted to have a meal, he would have given him a meal. They were very religious. They just went and meet us at the inn. Hashem doesn't want me to sit in like that. No, that's their little mistake. But other than that, they were very, very religious. Everything was very religious. Everything had a chesh. Yes, for sure. Everything that's positive, that's what the Rebbe says. It's very powerful. He says, every single good thought or deed, Nerchal also says this in the Das Funis, the second line. He says, every single good thought or deed is a way which a person connects to God. He like raises neshama, he actualizes neshama in a very special way. The Zohar says even a good desire. No good desire is ever lost. It's eternal. So if I had a good desire, I meant to do good for good. Even a slight amount, a little bit. That forges an eternal connection between me and Hashem. So then I cannot break that. It's not breakable. You can't destroy that. When we find things, various words of our sages or other things, it seems to say, well, if you regret a mitzvah, you lose it. It means you lose a great deal of it, but you don't lose everything. The eternal is eternal. You can't, that's what Rav Nelson said about this guy who gave Stucker to Yenachim, and became our opponent. Moshe Henkes, he's very, he had, he died not a great death. He said, I don't want the Stucker, I'll sell it, I don't want it, what I gave with this. And Rav Nelson says, you can't. It's not going to work that way. You can do whatever you want. It's too late. You're going to have the positive of it. Don't lose it, no matter what. It's forever. I can't get rid of it. So even a good desire is an eternal connection to Hashem. The author of Kelms is like very powerful, and really comes out also Kofior, from the Breast of Sefer, also the same idea. He says, if you take, I'll tell you first, I guess, the... I'll tell you about Rav Nachman first, the Kofior. He says, if you take every bad thing ever done, from the beginning of time to today, and you take any mitzvah or positive desire and put them one against the other on a scale, what will outweigh what? Not only will the mitzvah for sure outweigh everything ever done that's bad, but the mitzvah has reality and all the rest is zero. Because when you did something good or had a good desire, that's forging an eternal connection to Hashem. When you take all the bad things, you say there are a billion years of Gehenna, I don't know, whatever you want to say, a trillion, I don't know what the exact limit is. But when you have something eternal compared to something finite, no matter how big it is and how horrible it is, the finite is going to disappear at some point. And then the eternal goes on and on and continues the same amount and again the same amount and forever. So forever, there's no measuring forever. Therefore, in a world of forever, they don't have existence. So if Nelson says, for every good point, we should be jumping for joy and so thankful, like I made my life, this made my, not made my day, this made my life, I did a mitzvah. And for everyone I lose, like, how can I lose such a thing? Am I crazy? Am I mind? Lose such a thing? That's what Nelson says. Listen, at least do what you can. Don't lose everything because you want to be so good. Do whatever you can. But, like, it's eternal. So Shabbos is a time when we can really feel this and see this. And especially during this Moshe, and especially during the Ruach. I want to get this Ruach in this place where I don't care about the little things again. These ideas, we're yearning for these ideas. Halavai, we'll buy these ideas. Brought down this concept of just saying what it's brought in this farm. But we're yearning very much. We want to get to a place where I'm so filled up with the good and the good points of myself and my friend. I don't think the little things are just a vehicle. I forget, it's just a vehicle. It's not the purpose. It's no, had the pizza, didn't have the pizza. I don't care.
Okay, so if I light Shabbos candles, that's forever.
For sure.
And then if I do it next Shabbos, it's forever.
Different forever. Different forever. Oh yeah, for sure. If you light nicer Shabbos candles, like it's a different forever. Like everything is different. That's all. This is one of the Rishis Chachma. It's born a lot of works.
But taking the negative to the logical extreme would be the pogroms of the Holocaust so many years ago.
What about that negative?
Canceling out that they're just as a finite thing versus the Shabbos candles and this was
it's
and
true.
Everything else like that,
it's
which
true.
Is forever.
It's true for sure. But I'm saying it is something different. Even someone who did the worst, whatever he might have done, if he had that little bit of good, it doesn't go away. He might have to go through a lot. And certain parts of his shaman may be messed up. But in the end, to totally eradicate his soul is a hard job. It worked very, very, very hard on it. It's a big, big job.
Are there people that are in that category?
Amali. But no. I don't know who else. It's hard to know who else. If you think whoever the person may be said, yeah, well, he helped someone for a sincere reason once. The rest of his life, he was a murderer. His neshama is not destroyed forever.
Korach
was a different. Korach did a lot of good. Korach made a very big mistake and he messed up. This was his mistake. He said Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't mean it. He made some serious errors.
What about Middle Ages? He was a false tzaddik.
Shabbat Tzvi?
Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Rav Yehuda Pataya says he fixed him, I think. He's a shaman, some, whatever that means. But one way or the other way, for sure the person's not going to disappear. No, even, I'm talking about much worse. I mean, we don't even know if Hitler or Stalin did some good for a sincere reason, which we have no way of knowing, after all they did after that, didn't cancel good. Even though it's like getting rid of that all that nice bad is really, I don't even know what's involved in that. I have no idea. But they're gone. They're not gone. Make a rahabah? No, we're not making a rahabah. The body's not getting up, forget it. But not, the neshama's not in Gan Eden in any level, zero, it's goodbye, obliterated, we don't believe in that. We don't believe in that at all. No, the Reish Lakish, when he brings this concept, he says this is one of the foundations of the Jewish faith, that knowing the importance of every mitzvah.
So, Hitler and Stalin are in the dry cleaning plant in Gehenna?
It's just a claim. It's one of the foundations of our faith, the Jewish faith. You stole the Ha'emuna, is knowing that every good thing is prayer. If you don't know that, you're in big trouble. And I meet a lot of people that don't know it, it's hard to believe.
That's another question for Shabbos.
Yeah, I asked, exactly. I thought I got the one, I actually got like a few weeks ago, the one person said, yeah, they had a good answer. At least they knew like the main point. But yes, no, it's not so easy to jump the soul. Good, excellent. You're the first people ever. But people don't know. Dalton Kelm puts it his own way. He says, if the whole world had, from the beginning of creation until the end of the world, no positive, except one person said, Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemo, about Hashem. That's it. Nobody did anything else. In Hashem's perspective, that portion of eternal connection to Him, and it was worth creating the world for that one Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemo. He said, now, one Amen is worth 1,000 Baruch Hu Uvaruch Shemo, so it's certainly much worth, even if it's one Amen. He said, and what does he say? Amen Yehishner Rabbah is 1,000 Amens. So it's much, much greater. He said, one word of Torah is 1,000 Yehishner Rabbah. So just think what every little bit we're doing. So we have to connect to this, the best time is Shabbos. Especially by Yisroch Moshe, by day, that's the time we get this Ruach, and we're in a place where I don't care about the food is just, you know, I want to serve Hashem with the food. Again, this is what we're trying to be. We want to be lifted. That's what Shabbos is supposed to do. It's supposed to affect us. That we don't. I don't care about the little stuff. Just want Hashem. Like that's the Baal Shem Tov says, you bring your body along, you give it food, but your Hashem is supposed to be like on fire. It's supposed to be like somewhere else. That's the idea of a little bit about what we're doing. What is this Ruach? What's happening? What's happening when we have Shabbos by day? That's the first thing. So that's the first tip. So that Yudalit is going to be, says during the Amidah of Shabbos, we say, Chem Lashom Osa Karasa, you know, precious of days, precious of days, you called it. But Kabbalistically, one should not say Zeichel Masa Bereshis. You shouldn't say a remembrance for the creation. If I remember right, the Ashkenaz, they don't say this at all. Even the early, isn't it Moshe Ma'as Choko? Like Kevin the Makras doesn't know that we say. Yismuchu Malchus Hashem Shabbos Kurnoinik, Amkhay Shviklan. Yeah. Yismuchu Malchus, if I remember right, they don't say on Shachris in Ashkenaz. I think in Ashkenaz one doesn't say that Shachris, only Musaf. Right? And I think you can find that as well, certainly Musaf. But Shachris, Musaf Ashkenaz, we don't say it at all. Sfard say it, but even though they say it, the Ari held, you don't say the last few words. Chem Deshom also crossed the Zechel Masav Reishis. It's not so, that's not the right time to say it. He says, it's only by Mayrin and Musaf. Oh, here he brings it. The Mishnah Siddim says a reason for this, a piso. He said, but the Ari doesn't say why, he just says back, you don't say this. So we don't say it. Zechel Masav Reishis. Basically, from the Mishnah Siddim it comes out that there's a process here. There's a process that I'm in the middle of with Yitzchak Moshe. Yitzchak Moshe, Matnas Kelko, the Ari says, all the davens of Shabbos are like a wedding. Friday night is Kedushin, Atta Kiddushta. That's the marriage, the first stage of marriage. Then we have Yitzchak Moshe is the gifts, Matnas Kelko. Musaf is the meal, and Atar Echad is Yichudim. That's what the Risa explains. What's going on Shabbos. So we're in the middle here. We're supposed to be getting these gifts. Because we're in the middle. This Zeichel Masavresh is when you're finished. So, Kedushin, you're done with the stage. Musaf also, you're done. You have the gift, you have the meal. Then you have the Bechina of the Yichud. The Bechina of the Yichud is a very, very deep time. It's sort of when you're higher, but not higher. It's very interesting. What happens on Mincha? Mincha, in a way, is higher, but it's less. There's something less also because there's a distance that also comes out. You know, that's why Yuncha, we're always yearning. We're filled with Rabba the Rabba, yearning, this great yearning, longing. We're filled with longing. We see how far we have to go, how much we want to yearn, how much we want to connect, especially Mincha. So there's something missing there, so we don't say it then either. That's how it comes out of Mishnah Chassidus in the Chassidus, what he says. He says, so, but that's what he means, L'chayr, that's one of the ways of explaining how he would say. But the Beis Chai says that Re doesn't say that. The Re just says you don't say it. So you don't say it, so it could be it is, it could be it isn't. Actually, it's true that each time has its own tikkunim. So now, he says on Shabbos, before you take out the Torah, Yusuf Sfarad says, Atah Reis Oladas. Right? There's a special thing we say. That's eight psukim, which are seven people go up to the Torah, and one other person is Mafia. Fine. On Yom Tov, Mr. Sfarad skips two psukim, so it's six. So I'm sorry, so it's. Yeah, six. Five aliyos plus one mafia. Very good. During the week, they only say three psukim. Says anyone who adds versus made a mistake and took away. Now, from our perspective, Mr. Kashnaz and Mr. Sfarad, we don't see it that way at all. From our perspective, you add on, you have the versus, you have the more, it's also okay. So there are different customs in how to do things. So every person should say Baruch Shemei Devar Alma when you're taking up the Torah, Shabbos or Yom Tov or Yom Kippur. Kisei Leos says to say at Rosh Chodesh, because in Rosh Chodesh you also say Keser, right? Because it mentions Keser blesses the crown of Hashem. There's crown if you don't say Keser. So during the weekday, there's no reason to say it.
No, now, a lot of people say it.
Of course, we do. Okay, when you open the Aron HaKodesh, with the Torah, that's the time to ask for anything in the world. It's a very, very powerful time. It should not be wasted. When you open the ark to put back the Torah, that's the time when a person is supposed to, all he's supposed to ask for is Ruach HaKodesh. That's what Ramani Pano says, I think. He says, that's the time to get Ruach HaKodesh. When you open to begin with, anything. Anything can be brought down. It's a very, very powerful time. It's so well known, there's a school of brought down about a person, when a woman's supposed to give birth, that's an open their own approach, it's a good way to school it, help things go easy. It's a very powerful, powerful, special time, taking up the whole Torah. It's not a simple time.
Why is there a difference between the different leaders on the certain? Mm-hmm. Why is there a difference between the opening and the closing perspective that you just asked for?
That's a great question. The short answer is I have no idea. But the longer answer is because when I'm putting back the Torah now, I want to take in what I heard. I heard the laning, right? I heard the laning. When you hear the laning, you're supposed to be on fire, like, you know, at Sinai. That's the, again, we're yearning for these ideas, but Yishalmi, the Bible talks about it a lot, but I don't know how many people I know who just are fire, and when you hear the tip of Torah, they're just trembling and on fire. I don't know too many people like that, maybe a couple. So, I think it's not, most of us, we're just yearning, we're not there yet, we want to be there, we're not there yet. So, that's what I need to do, internalize what I heard. And that's a Ruach HaKodesh. It's in a place where I'm uplifted in somewhere else. That's the idea, the heart. And when you're opening, just opening up. You haven't yet heard the Torah. You can ask for anything. It's a different Bechin entirely. I'm opening up the gates of heaven. I'm opening up. You know, things are opening open. That's the idea, the heart. That's on a simple level. I assume. Good shot.
When you say anything, you mean anything?
Yep. Pretty much. Pretty much. I mean, I don't know. Like, let's say someone says, oh, Hashem, I know Neil Young canceled his concert, please. I don't think that's appropriate to ask for when they open the Aron HaKodesh.
No, but like asking.
I think that's a bad
asking
idea.
For.
That's what I would say. But like, other anything else sounds pretty good.
Asking for the healing for the soldiers that were injured, or asking
that's
for.
Great. Yes, for sure. Anything that's toxic. It's not stupid things, but even if it's important to me, I mean, still.
You know, like, butter's fine, shit.
Yeah, you can, sure.
Is that kind of Monday and Thursday as well?
Yeah, anytime. Especially from our perspective. But yeah, in general, I think he's talking, even in Lankano, I think he's talking about anytime. That's the thing, the Baruch Shemei is a very powerful tefillah, but it's a very, very good time just for personal prayer. If you finish it up early, you have a little more time, or whatever it may be, just to ask a little something, it's a very powerful time.
How does that differ from those the prayer that we say on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the festival, you know, where it's,
I know the one you mean.
Yeah.
Hashem Hashem.
Yeah.
It's the opposite, because it's such a powerful time, and that's a time of judgment, so we say that's the best time to say the Hashem Hashem, that's the best time to mitigate things. So it's very powerful, you open the Torah again, you're in a very powerful place, you can do a lot. Not when you're putting it back, when you open. You're putting it back, it's already give me the awe of the Torah that I heard. But when you're opening, it's like a very, very big, big awe, a big deal. That's what we're talking about. So you can ask for anything you want to ask for. Right? But that's why at those times, we choose that time to ask a special bakasha. It's a big, big evening.
Yeshua, the ones from Baltimore, we used to come back to opening the Torah, put on his mirrors, and open the Torah, and there was a big sliss for somebody to get.
Sure, definitely. Opening the Aron HaKodesh at any time is a big stress. But especially taking the Torah, it's like, I can't begin to describe, what am I opening here? Where are we going here? It depends what landing, but you're going. You're opening a door, you don't even know where you're going. So you're opening it, you do it the right way, you do it well, you know.
I would think it would be reversed almost. So you want it that when you're taking coordinate the Torah, your detour should be more direct because you want to build the clearer see the Torah. Afterwards, because you have the higher kedusha, you be able to ask for whatever you want because it all have that focus.
That's only because you're you, and you probably really connect when you hear laning. But most of us, we hear laning.
You're saying it's opposite, no?
No. When I hear laning, let's say possibly, I don't know. Let's say I didn't do it with complete perfection. Let's say one time. At least I'm trying not to botch it now. Now I can ask. That's the Haredim, the beautiful Haredim. The Haredim says, "What are you doing? You say a bracha," and you realize, "Whoa! I was trying to have kavana on that bracha. I'm drinking. I must have said a bracha, but I don't remember anything at all. I have no memory. You know, I take it. I don't remember." So he says, "Then you turn to Hashem and pick up your hands and bring the kavana later." I said, "That fixes the bracha." So it's the same thing. Where we got to, we can go further, especially in terms of connecting to the Torah. Before you opened up, I haven't yet heard. I'm just about at Sina. I'm just about there. I'm opening up the way to bring the Torah down. Open up, and then I'm there. So once you're there, you want to bring it in. Beforehand, I'm on the way. So whatever it is, I haven't yet got the biggest Torah. Torah, especially, learn a little bit about where you're going when you.
Why do certain congregations say Tillim at the time when they're opening up the Torah?
You mean for sick people?
I'm not sure what it
was.
You
mean Sephardim? Sephardim say certain psukim.
No, this was an Ashkenazi shul. I think it was during the time when the boys were kidnapped.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to. That was again. It's a very high time. It's a high time. They figure just like we do in on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and during Yom Tov. This is a good time to daven. In Sephardi shuls, they say Mishaberach with the Torah open, with it open. Could be before, could be after. I don't remember. I think it's before, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I was quoting, I think, to the Mamipano, if I'm remembering right. And according to him, you just talk about getting Ruach HaKodesh after. But if I'm not mistaken, many Sephardi shuls, they daven for sick people when you open the on HaKodesh. This is a big time. That's when you daven for anything you might need. Like you said, whatever you sure. It's a good time. Daven.
And all the Chabad shuls in Israel are passed out to them at the end of the Shabbos. Mm-hmm. So that just when you think you're completely done,
now you get stuck.
You get it together.
That's it. You want the kiddush, you want the l'chaim, you have to say
exactly.
That's how it works. Sing for your supper. I'm just kidding. Excellent idea. Fine. So we'll see on Shabbos, we'll see about what happens, where we're going on Shabbos, what are we accessing on each aliyah, what's going on. So then we'll see what I mean. Like you're going somewhere very high. And once you get there, you just want to bring it in. You want to hold on to it somehow, anyway, just any which way. You know, and that's the tefillah also, right? We've done a bit more of we're going to be close to Hashem. When you look at that, we do Choloma. Right, you look at the prayers and say after, before we bring the Torah back, and Mizrach David, it's a very much to do with connecting. I want to, who can go in? Like after the weekday and after the Shabbos, you're there, so you say, bring God honor to Hashem, more or less. Yeah. Okay. So when you take the Torah out, I open it up. In Sephardic shuls, they have this Torah made, so you open the Torah, and everyone sees it. So each person is bowed to the Torah. He says, wherever you are, he says, I don't care if you're in the Ezra's Nashim, I don't care if you're a child, if you teach them, bow to the Torah, and you say, Rizos the Torah. That's how they do it in the Sephardic shuls. And it says, Kel Shakai Emes, Moshe Tzosa Emes. See, why is Kel Shakai? Why is that? Why is that the Bechina of this particular, the way they say in Sephardic shuls? Why is it Dr. Kel Shakai? It says, Kel Shakai is the word of Bria. Word of Bria? So this is the word of Bria, that's what we say, Kel Shakai. We'll get back to that in a minute, I'm going. That's Bina. We'll do one more thing and we'll stop for a second. So that's Bina. So Bina is the same Eke, Aleph Ke Yud Ke. That's the beginning of I will be. So 21 times. Eke is MS. So that's why most. Because Eke again, Aleph Ke Yud Ke is 21. 21 times. Again. 21 times is 21 is. It multiplies itself. Said Moshe, because he brought the Torah, so his name is the same numerical value as Kel Shakai. He said, if you're in a place where you can't, I'll explain in a minute. Though. So if you're in a place where you can't, interrupt, at least bow the Torah. It's good for a person to look at a letter in the Tzipa Torah that starts with his name. So some people say you bow the amount of time that they're going to bring the laning, that they're going to have meetings. Seven times on Shabbos, five times on Yom Tov, etc. So that's a proper to do. Okay, so now before we continue, just explain a little bit. Well, the Bria, Bina. What is Bina? So we've spoken about this before. The idea of Bina is understanding one thing for the other, it's tshuva. Person's heart is ignited for Hashem, and he's in a very, very, very high place on the one hand. Now, I need two things when I want to get to Bina. It's Kel Shakai. Shakai is limits. Kel is Bechin of Chesed. I'm on fire. Nachman speaks very much about this. When you're on fire, don't overdo it. You have to have the fire, but it should be a balanced, good fire, not a fire where the person is so consumed with it that he's going to act in a way that's not proper, or he just can't bring himself down to do anything. The person, I'm so on fire for Hashem, I can't do anything. I'm like, well, that's too much fire. Relax. Temper the flame. It's too much flame. Temper the flame. It's too much fire. It breaks. You have a candle and you pour oil, too much oil on it, and puts it out. But pour it right enough, a little at a time, slowly, whatever you might need. So that's, first of all, in terms of the Bechina, that's what we're trying to do. We want to do two. The Ech means Ana Zaman the Mehevi. I'm preparing to be like you're not going to break the Kutumran for the Zohar. Preparing myself to be that's two. But two is this realization that I'm not who I'm supposed to be yet. And I have to return to Hashem. So this is Bechinah. Tzadikim, Tzadikim. The Ramah says, I have not stolen, I will return what I have not stolen. Right? What I have not stolen, I will not return. I will return. Because he didn't really do anything wrong, but he knows he still has to do two and be higher and higher. And the Rebbe Melech, Rebbe Melech from the when he came after married after Yom Kippur, he was crying by Shlach Lanu. Someone asked him after, like, meditation, whatever, he said, what are you crying about? You just had such a beautiful Yom Kippur, and B'chalal, what sins do you ever do? And you're crying, Shlach Lanu, after Yom Kippur. He said, I counted 300 sins since after. Mila, tell Slachlana. So of course, but I shouldn't cry. The Rebbe too would go after me in Matashlit. The Rebbe would throw his sins in the Yam. He'd go after him. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Tashlit already." He said, "No, I want to take your sins." He said, "I'll do your sins. I'll be okay. I'll just be where your sins are. I'm all right." So he was very, you know, they were very big people. So this Bechina of preparing myself, Bina, the Tzadikim, they do tshuva on tshuva. We're just trying to do one tshuva. So we have to just keep on waking up and wake up my heart and connecting. Bina Liba, preparing myself. I want to prepare Hashem, make me ready to be who I'm supposed to be. So it's a very high thing. If you get to that place, You use this feeling to get to the place of Bina. That's where you need to be. That's Kel Shachar. It's kind of chesed. It's love of Hashem. It's expanse of kindness on the one hand. It puts us on fire and has to limit that fire. So it's chesed and not destructive. That's on a simple level. That's a shame. Again, hopefully you will get there. So I'll finish mine. Says the Arizal, what would he do? He would kiss the Torah and he would escort it all the way to the bima where they were going to lean. And he would stay there till they would open the Torah to show the people, and he would look at it. He would say, through looking at the Torah from close up, so you can read the letters, you draw down a tremendous light on yourself. Very, very worthwhile if you can, without some people say, if you're going to look a little strange, maybe it's not worthwhile. But generally speaking, if people, or people are, many people do it, or it's not going to look unusual, to be able to see the Sefer Torah, see the letters, a big light, there's a big light on the first. Then he would go back to his place, and the Arizal would sit for leaning. That's why the Esther Shulam Zamanobach and Alacha is supposed to stand. Ashkenazim, anyway, we stand. So many Ashkenazim, they don't stand. So Shulam Zamanobach says, they're relying on a piece sword. The Kavakayim brings this idea, like in Mishkai, a piece sword, one sits. So it's not so, a piece sword, you sit. So there is a machina for people who, whatever reason they're sitting, they have one who they rely on. It's not like you're exactly messing up. But there are more rings. The Maram, I think, said they used to stand. There's such a custom.
For what?
For laning, during the Kriya Torah.
Sorry, but
the Kappa Chaim brings the Ari. The Ari says, our peace soul, you should say.
You mean everyone? Not just the person who's laning?
No, the person laning stands. Our peace soul, everyone else should say. The Maram says everyone else should stand. I'll show you. But I think it's Maram.
The
Ramah brings what?
This
is the Ben Yishchai. So we learn Bereshchai, and we do a little bit of serious inside Bereshchai. Let's do it a little. Maybe we'll do Pastor's address to Bereshchai. That's the idea of the whole thing. Or the Kiddush, when you Kiddush.
So, is everyone supposed to stand both Sephardi and Ashkenazi?
No. The Ramah brings a custom to stand, like the Torah is giving you a trembling, you stand. That's what he brings, the Ramah. I think from the Maram, I don't remember. But others, again, the Arizal says, you sit. He says, watch and sit. So, different bechinas. There are many, many great people used to stand. But nothing talks about standing, actually. But when they asked Shlomo Zalman, should one stand? Because we're a Ma. He said, actually, I'll be sold. Those who sit, they have one who rely on, because I'll be sold. They'll come behind me and watch and sit. So it's not like it's, you know, it's such a. Not okay. Not okay. So one should sit, according to this, not like the people here. Who is to stand during Kriya Sefer Torah? That's the Sefer Shachamas. Not like that. They are not correct on his Torah. That's what he says. In Baghdad, we opened Sefer Torah, show it to the community, and took it out of the Arna Kodesh. And that's not really shown to the people. And they bring the Sefer Torah to the Bima, and then they show it to people. And then they lane. When they finish, they close it up, and they don't open it when they bring it back. Unlike the other customs used to open at the end of laning, like many of us do, we open after we lane. It's fine, they open before they lane. That's what he says. He says, and I say that in Baghdad, in Baghdad, we don't open twice. Some people do twice. So if we don't do it twice, you know, if you have a standing Sefer Torah, it's no big deal. You're going back, you open it up again. So he says, not a good idea, he said, because the reason why the Ari says a person should open the Sefer Torah is to show the illumination of the letters of the Torah that it says inside and should shine out on the community before they lay. If you have an illumination, then the Torah, when you're laying it, actually comes out. Not only shines, the whole thing comes out. And then it's Or. It's Torah Or. So, but this illumination that recontinues only stays at that time, and then it goes back inside. Therefore, when you're finished, you close the Torah, it's over. You don't. Why are you showing it? That's how he explains. According to this, that's why we do it. We close it, and then we put it back. And there's no reason to open it after you close it. That's how he brings. That's what he says.
So that's Sephardi. For us, Ganazi, we use.
We do the opposite.
We do the opposite. We're opening. We're opening it all the way.
After.
After.
Afterwards.
And then we lift it up and turn it. How far do we turn it around completely?
You bring it around completely. Yeah, sure. It's interesting. So you bring it for Nari, and we know some Hasidim do the same thing. They pick it up beforehand. Others have a custom that we do both ways. But according to the Ashkenazi custom, again, I think the way the Hasidus works out is that it's true, of course, when you open the Sefer Torah now, it's shining a little bit. And when you're reading, you get a big illumination. But we're hoping very much that after the leaning, we'll be able to connect to the Ohr HaTorah somewhere. That's the idea. That to do it beforehand, we want to hear it and connect to it, and then hopefully we'll get some Ohr afterwards. Because for us to access beforehand, we're afraid we're not going to make it. That's one of the reasons why we bring something. I don't think it's not that safe. Actually, yeah, that's. But that's what I would say on a simple level. We want to connect us to somewhat, a little bit, to the Torah, to the Sefer Torah, to the Ohr HaTorah.
Now, this may be a strange question, but I thought that you were supposed to take the Torah directly from the Aron directly to the Bima.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some congregations I see take it out and bring it around completely around the whole congregation before taking it to the Bima.
It's, if you can, you bring it around just so people should be able to kiss the Sefer Torah. They're different customs. It's okay to do. I don't think it's a problem. As far as I know, it's not a problem. It's not disrespect to the country. People want to show their respect. They can do that. Or if you want, you can go straight to them. Also, you have to. I don't think you have to go some development, some other way. I don't think it's one or the other. I don't think it has to be brief. I don't think it's disrespect to Torah that people show their era. Shabbos, there are seven people go up besides Machtir. Seven people ascend to Torah on Shabbos besides Machtir. Shishi is the biggest. Shishi is the soul. We'll just go in order, first of all, then we'll see what he says is better or worse. According to Rabbi Nachman, it's implied that, and the Mishnah Hasidim says this explicitly, that Shishi is only better if that's your aspect. If your aspect is your soul, so then it's better for you to do Shishi. But Rabbi Nachman, for example, what was it going to be? Because his aspect was Netzah, not your soul. So he took a V. He didn't take Shishi. It depends what your aspect is. But in general, we have like this. Kohen is Chesed. Chesed means being filled with love for Hashem on a simple level. Then we have Gvura is Levi. Levi is having proper limits. Yiras Hashem, awe of Hashem. The Menachem says there are many levels of Yira. He says the level of Yira where the fear brings you to love Hashem, just by nature. If you realize that it still counts, and everything is, again, once you know everything's forever, so then, if it still counts, I'm still, so do. That's how he says, that's the a third level of Yira. There's a real team on Shavuos, he said, I went to the mikvah, so it came that there's two years, a lower year than the Zohar says, and a higher year, and there's really a third year, which is a year from Chizik, where a person's Yira, the word Yira, forms Re'io, which means seeing. If you see Hashem's imminent, and it makes a difference what you do, it makes a difference what you do still, no matter what you may have done. So it makes a difference, so you make a difference, and you do what you can. So instead of all that, it makes you feel a tremendous joy. And so he's the opposite. Yira, real Yira, makes you feel happy. So that's the third, the higher level. Of year. So And that's no matter where you are, no matter who you are. So because you can't hide from Hashem. So on the country, he's right here with me. He's taking care of me. He thinks the other way. So why should you feel bad about it? You should feel happy. It's very interesting, very long discussion about it, but that's a beautiful idea that he said. So that's Levi, that's Shemi. Then Tiferes. Tiferes is Tzevikis, to Emes, that's what Tiferes is the third year. Then we have, unfortunately, is Netzach. Netzach is knowing what to do and how to act and how to keep moving when things are impossibly hard. Hod is praising Hashem no matter what goes through, and that also helps the Netzach go. And then you have Yisod. Yisod is realizing that what I do makes a difference. And seeing feeling a pleasure in it. Wow, I'm making a difference. I'm making progress. I'm getting somewhere. Things are happening. Things are growing. That's Yisod. And then Malchus is a person that is, you know, doesn't have anything. It's just Hashem. He realizes it's just Hashem. I have to take on the yoke of heaven onto myself. I have to use Hashem on a simple level. Nava and Amuna, all that is Malchus. So each person depends where you're home. A coin a lady is coin a lady if it's a coin a lady. But from Tiferes on, it depends where. What are you working on? If you're working on Emes, maybe you should take Shlishi. If you're working on Netzach, you need good advice. Or you need to just keep moving when it's hard, maybe you should take Netzach or Malchus. Figure out where you're holding each one. So the Beis Chai is going his Mahalif, which is not everyone agrees with. But his Mahalif, not even Mishnah Sittim, which is, depends on your aspect. Maybe if you don't know your aspect, you don't know. So he's saying there's difference better but worse. So the best is Shishi, according to what he says. Then comes Shlishi, Tiferes. Then Kohen, Tesef. Then Levi, which is Gvura. Then Rabbi is Netzach. And then Chamishi, which is Hod. And then Shri, which is Malchus. That's why a Kotel is allowed to go up to be the seventh. Specifically seventh, because it's the lowest aspect. It says Mincha is Chabad. Mincha, then you get this Bechina where the light comes to an extent, everything gets affected in a totally different way. Now it's a Bechina where a person has the Bechina of Das, it goes, it penetrates what he understands. He has Chesed, right? Bina and Das. Chesed is deep similarity with Hashem. Bina is on fire for Hashem. Das is that I just internalize everything up there. That's just these three ideas. That's the Mincha. It says Yom Tov, you have five. What are these in Yom Tov? Yom Tov, it's very interesting how Yom Tov works. Yom Tov is Netzach, Hod, and Yisod. Since you have Netzach and Chachma, all the Bechins of Netzach. Netzach and Chachma, Netzach and Bina. Hod of Chachma, Hod of Bina, and Chamishi is Yisod of Chachma. That's why Chamishi is the highest according to what he has to say. So again, this Bechin of what Yom Tov, what is the meaning of Yom Tov? What does this mean? So it's a lot of different levels of Netzach, of being able to keep moving. That's part of what Yom Tov is. Yom Tov enables us. Yom Tov is Shel Shugolim, it's the feet. That's the aspect of Yom Tov. Because everything stands rest on these three pillars. One pillar is Rosh Hashanah and Kippur Sukkis. The other pillar is Pesach, and the other pillar is Shavuot. So these three pillars, the whole world is resting on them. We're all resting on these three pillars. So they're a bechin of raglayim, of being able to move forward, keep going, generate the whole year. Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Sukkis begin something. There's a bechin of gestation, and then the bechin of Pesach is already a bechin of birth, and then Shavuot is a new Kabbalah Torah, totally different Kabbalah Torah, new receiving the Torah, something totally different. Depends who you ask. It depends who you ask. It probably depends on who your heart is. I don't know what the discuss is. I'm not sure. He says to make the third meal, Nelson says. Third meal, the custom was later. Like, keep it moving until the week. Pick up the week. That he says. But then you'll see that, how you make mincha, mincha tzolot, and you can't. It's a machlok, it's a posting, it doesn't get really so involved. Each way is good. It depends. Yeah. Still remember being on a train, there's a guy dressed up as a chassid rebbe, he tells his friend, yeah, you know, you can't daven mincha tzolot, it's not halacha. You're not allowed to daven early. You have to daven after mincha time, otherwise it's not good. Well, my son's in a really strong yeshiva. They don't make him go there. Are you sure about that? It doesn't sound right. No, I said they don't do it. Just be the other. These guys don't do it. Lacha because they're rushed, because they're starting. Like, it's just not. The chaznish don't make him go. Like, it depends. There are different approaches. It's not just one approach. Yeah, it's his approach. There are other approaches. Nachman encompasses a lot of different approaches. He's not particular in that way at all. Okay.
So every time you take the Torah out of the ark, in a sense, you're giving birth to the Jewish people again.
Give birth to yourself. Yes.
Give birth to yourself.
That's right. And everything, all door, it's all coming out. Connecting now. Reconnect to the Torah. Don't go 3 days without Torah. As you said, no 3 days without Torah. Monday, Thursday. No 3 days without reading the Torah.
So it's 3 days without water.
Yes, it's true.
I think it, because when you read Torah, Shabbat, Mincha, because you don't need sleep, because the parasha should
be. Yep, and that's exactly what the Rabbi was saying. So Nesnes is a very powerful thing. He said, we start with all the first Aliyah broke into three. And we repeat it again. It's starting again. Give birth by starting again. That's what Nesnes is. We have Mincha. Then what? You start again, then back to the drawing board. Finish getting there. Monday. Yeah. Again. Thursday. Again. Now you finish. So because you're starting again, so then you have the call to give birth to that new level. He says, otherwise, forget it. Can't do it otherwise. You can't. So, Mom is like, you tell me what you're saying.
There's three rectangles right in front of us, right? There's the kings, the trees, and for us.
Yeah. Four? So it's, the Mishnah says four. There's really more.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
The reclining is the reason why
they're called reclining.
Because it's the aspect of
kind of
things are moving.
Mm-hmm.
It's
got nothing
to do with Rosh Hashanah, but
in
the
years. No, you see Rosh Hashanah here. You're right, there's different Bechiras, but Rosh Hashanah itself is the beginning of the Sukkot. The regular Sukkot, but without Rosh Hashanah, you don't have it. The reason is because Adam fell, he fell at Rosh Hashanah. So if he hadn't fallen Rosh Hashanah, we would have finished the Sukkot of Rosh Hashanah. He said, we can't finish it. It takes, how many days is it? I think it's 21 days, no? Exactly, just like the 3 weeks. That's how it says, if I remember right. It's just like the 3 weeks. If I remember right, that's what it says. He says, you have to put the Bechinas kind of fun. Now it's like a big, you have the morning, you're missing something, so then you create the background to get to El, and that's one of the Rosh Hashanahs, right? Maisa Behema, that's how it extends. Maisa Behema, if you want to stop being a Behema, pick up the Bahamas, pick up the tendency to be like an animal. He says, that's El. Rosh Chodesh El, and some say Tishrei. If you're Mahalakha, when can you do it? The Chedushrim says, listen, if you're not holding by doing it El, at least Tishrei you could do. It's not so bad, you can do it then. The different Mahalakha had how to deal with it. It's very powerful of what the Rosh Hashanah are you doing? How do I change myself? How do I improve myself? It's not a simple matter at all. Not a simple matter at all. How do I make it so that I'm going to be in a place where I can have the regular Sukkot? Like I said, Sukkot's really Shmi Atzeres, it's really we'll see, we'll learn about Shmi Atzeres maybe, whoa. It's like the most, it's so inspiring. I try to learn every year. Just learning about it, the Nadashan Rabba, what's going on? And you're just like, well, that night, you know, what is this night? Wow, this is like a big night. You know, so sometimes, you know, you stay up, you don't stay up, it's like very, very, never, ever tired of it. It's fantastically powerful. So the simon is like this. He says, Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha has three words. That's three. Yor Hashem Panav Elecha Yichonecha has five words. That's Yom Tov. Three words is like Shabbos Mincha and Monday and Thursday. Five is Yom Tov. Yor Hashem Panav Elecha Yasein Yichon Shalom. The seven words, that's Shabbos. That's what the Bench Christ is saying. To remember the different leaves. But it's a different pasuk. The Sama Shmiya Ben Yisrael. So Maniya Varchim is not part of the Tzibris. That's six. That's what the Kippur. That's how the Mensch Chai explains. We'll do one more. A little behind, I wasn't. What's the Sefer Torah? First, see the place where you're about to read. And look at the first pasuk that you're about to say, and then cover it with some sort of covering, and say the Brach of the Torah. And remove it. When you finish again, you cover over and you say the bracha. So when you say the bracha, hold on to the Sefer Torah via the. They have a cloth on their Sefer Torah, not the Torah itself. Put his two hands on each side of the Torah and have a mind to include the left with the right. But the right side should be the main, the left should be included in it.
Say that again?
People don't pause like that, right? They hold the Torah.
Well, we don't have the same Torah. See, they have a Torah like this.
Oh, so you're talking the Sephardic Torah.
But if you have, you hold both hands, yeah. It's the same idea. So also you have the right to the left, and you, then when you're done with the bracha, you remove
like
your hand.
You
hold on to it. You remove your hand from the left side, the left with the right side, because that's the main side. That's what he's saying. It's the same idea. Shmuel Vital says you don't have to worry about, it's only the Kriyas HaTorah. Yeah, I saw this also in the Chemes Yom, it was very interesting. He has a sefer called Sefer Chemes Yom. He says a tremendous chiddush there. He says in terms of holding the Sefer Torah, it's only during laning. Now, Rav Avadya Yosef says, the Gemara says if you touch the Sefer Torah with your hands, God forbid a person is buried without clothing, and it's the idea that he's missing zchuyot, he's losing merits. So he says, don't rely on this Shmuel Vital. He said, the Gemara is very clear, and don't mess with this. That's what he says.
I'm confused. Normally we would take a talus and touch the Torah.
Fine, great. With a talus
and
then
kiss it.
Yeah, great. Not with your hand, without the talus.
And then we would be holding the wooden handle.
The wooden handle is no problem. Not the cloth. Not the actual part of the parchment, which you did not. That's what he's talking about. Sorry if it wasn't clear. The parchment's a problem. He brings a chiddush from Shmuel Vital. Like I said, I like the siddur very much, a beautiful siddur. Comes to Shmuel. He's got his own interesting stuff. Easier, harder. Some are easier, some are harder. But he says that the incredible chiddush that you touch, it's only during laning. Only during Kriyas HaTorah. But like he said, Rabbi Yosef says, I mean, Ben Shai brings it, Rabbi Yosef says, the Gemara says, it doesn't imply that, and we can't rely on that. It seems to me that when you open the Sefer Torah to show it to the people, and you see it's not open to the parchment, it needs to be open, you have to move it until you get the right parchment. Then you have to also hold it with the talus, even according to Shmuel Vital. But once it's open, it's got this form. And from then, you don't touch it. So from when you open the Sefer Torah, you don't touch it until you don't do anything.
When you open, read the first sentence, it's special about
you. I don't know. If you're supposed to take a word.
Because then they go around, you can show the. The sapati.
He says, you take a word, it starts your name. The letter starts your name, and that you see. He says, that brings a very special one. You can see the letter. Right. He says, if you need to fix the Sefer Torah, of course, you can touch if you have to write or whatever, but otherwise, it's not. I agree. That's what I just said.
Do all Torah readers, I'm just trying to remember if they all use a yad or not.
No, but that's part of why one uses a yad.
Because I've seen some of them point that to
you. Yeah, but they don't touch.
They don't touch, they have point. They don't touch. Yeah. Also, touching with reality, isn't it? Somehow?
Touching is like you said, you're not supposed to touch.
Also, it ruins the Torah itself.
It can. Theoretically, it can. But even if not, even if the person says, my hands are extremely clean and it's not a problem, let's say, it doesn't help. You can.
But even the hands, even if they've been just washed, they have oil in them.
That's true.
Which, I know as a similar work for a coin dealer, we would always have to wear gloves when dealing with very rare coins. Because the oil would destroy the coins.
Wow. That's simple. That could be damages. If you have a choice, it's better not to, for sure.
modern day acts of vandalism, the Sefer Torah is damaged. Do we try to fix it, or do we bury it?
If it's fixable, we fix it. If it's not fixable, it's a problem.
Huh? Say to make use of it.
It's a big problem. It's a terrible problem.
So there are people that have that responsibility to make that decision, whether you fix it or throw it away. I mean, are there a group of worldwide experts, or is it just like in a community where there's a synagogue, the people there make the decision?
I think that usually it's impossible to fix. I think that unfortunately, usually when the vandals get to it, they don't let it be fixed. And if it's possible, one should fix it. It's not proper to just get rid of the Sefer Torah, which is usable. That's like halachically not okay. You can't say, well, we have enough. It doesn't work that way. You're supposed to fix it. Sometimes you leave it around, you put a belt around it until you have the money or you have the time or whatever, or the sofa to fix it. But everyone is different.
So we hold on to it?
We hold on to it. We try. We don't use it for something else. We hold on to it. We for sure hold on to it if it's fixable. If not, then that's when usually we do it by.
Normally, when it's not fixable, is because of fire.
Sure, or other things. See, it's a terrible thing. I heard a story from this person who went to America. Went to Stanford. They got an invitation. Please come to America to fix our Sefer Torah. They came to America. And some of the price stayed open. They come in, they're like, we'll give you a really cheap. I'm like, I don't know if we're going to bother with these guys. But they're like, listen, they may help fix the Sefer Torah. We're in the sofa. This is what we do. They have lots of sperm. It's too much work. You're paying us a joke. Let's just do it. So they fixed the Sefer Torah. That's what they did. And they're driving. I don't know where they were staying, wherever it was. Or some other place. They had maybe other jobs. And they're driving. And one guy says to his friend, you know, I really need the bathroom. Looking, there's no something on the road. I know where they were. Nothing. So they turn off, and they're driving here. Finally, they get to some cemetery. There was probably a funeral home. There's probably some bathroom here. It's a funeral home or a cemetery. Whatever. What can we do? They come out. They use the bathroom. You know, and as they walk in, someone says, "Can I have your names, please?" All right. Well, they tell them what they're supposed to do. They see the bathroom. My name is this. My name is that. They go in. They find the bathroom. And whatever they, you know, they. Be as respectful as they can, and eventually it sort of trickled away, or okay, wait until then, you wait till then. So, I asked their names, asked their address, where they're from, where they are, whatever. And the guy had apparently left his will, and then it comes to his funeral, they divide his estate. So they made a very big amount of money. So we made, that was the best job we ever had at those Sefer Torah, that they tried to rip us off. We did something good for the Kahal, and everything worked out. That was an interesting story. I heard from someone. It's a big schus, the fix to the Torah. It's a big thing. It's not very often when the vandals get to it, there's just no way. It's impossible. It becomes, you have to write a new one. Unfortunately. It's too easy to destroy. He brings a story of earlier, I think he made a time to bring a story, if I'm not mistaken. Someone who, maybe not. I remember someone went to Ezra, they had a Sefer Torah from Ezra, and this guy came, and he made it puzzle in a way that no one would know. And this person's father came to him and said, he made it puzzle, fix it. And they fixed it. And he was like, the guy who did it just dropped dead, or some terrible thing happened to him. Wait, Sefer Torah, this is not a joke. Oh, yeah. This is the world we are in. I hope tomorrow we'll finish easily. We'll also finish by 9:30.